Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have to rise above challenges and find strength in the midst of adversity.
We are in a battle of good versus evil.
Satan is the father of confusion.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to keep calling them out.
They're berserk trying to disarm Americans, and we need to push back.
I'm glad you're fighting for America.
There's always hope.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. In the midst of the heart-wrenching Maui fires, it feels so inadequate to just say our thoughts and prayers are with you. That's a given. What we need to do now is to support our brothers and sisters in the months to come with not only prayer, but supplies and also our voices. Now, it appears as though there were many shortcomings resulting in unbelievable loss of life, and it just doesn't make sense. There were no warnings for high winds, children sent home from school, water shut off, no cell service, but strangely, multi-million dollar homes protected while others just melted to the ground. Were the fires there? Were they caused by dry, non-native grass? Maybe a few downed power lines? Perhaps a direct energy weapon by another country, or worse, even ours? Joining me now to discuss is my friend Juan O'Savin. Juan, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, just having a beautiful day here. And
Now we can show where that footage where you're at, can't we?
Oh, or sure. No? Go ahead. Yeah,
okay.
It's beautiful.
So we
here
can
today
show the beautiful flowers, and you're enjoying the last days of summer. Look at how great that is. Juan,
even here, it's not even last days, it's through September you get a great time.
Yeah.
And then it starts getting cold and windy again.
And in Texas, it lasts through October.
Yeah. Well, and Oktoberfest and all that. Yeah, last.
Yep. So Juan, what's going on with the Maui fires? What really happened?
Well, okay, let's back up for a second. One of the things I was just about to go over there in about a month, one of the things I was looking forward to doing was going by where George Harris and I met the first time, right there at the marina there in Maui, and backside of the building there. And oh my gosh, what a fun little coffee shop that was back in the mid-70s. It's very sad to see it destroyed like this. And then the question is, and what's it going to be rebuilt like? Is it going to have that quaintness that was what made Lahaina, Lahaina? Or is it going to be somebody else's, 21st century, madness? Let's not mince words here. From a military perspective, I guarantee you that if weapons, whether they're aircraft-based or space-based, drone, whatever, with our monitoring systems, we know within the military precisely what occurred here. There has been a release of some photographic images that came from Mauna Kea that prior to this showed a Chinese satellite doing a terrain mapping laser scan of that area. And so the question is, for what? What purpose are they doing that? We do it to other countries. They do it to us. When you do a terrain mapping a scan of that type, you can tell down to the millimeter where everything is, what it is, etc. If you're doing some type of action, you could decide what you want to hit and not, and isolate out very specific things if you're using lasers. There is a question about the footprint of the fire, and if you look at the there is some nominal burning, but it outside of it, but it does appear that the most intense burning follows a very specific round pattern around that area. I spent quite a bit of time on the phone with people in and around Lahaina, including BJ Penn, who ran for governor, and the reports are just unending of what seem very obviously to be a laser-type weapon, almost certainly space-based. I don't believe that it was ours. I believe it was somebody else's, and most likely some type of a Globalista-type plan to, if you remember with the Event 21, prior to the whole COVID outbreak, and they had that over in China, and you had all these Western leaders there present, and then suddenly, miraculously, just like they were worried about, we do have a global outbreak. There have been all sorts of Agenda 21 type cities, the 15-minute city conversations, which are going to do with Hawaii and specifically Maui as a demonstrator. And miraculously here, the location that you would use for that, that they anticipate using, has this horrid event. So from a military standpoint, I think the American people need to demand that we know, did we just have a Pearl Harbor? And I don't think that's a wrong request. If you are in that kind of a war, and it goes back even to the Paradise Fires, if we're being periodically attacked in this manner, I don't think you can leave the American people in the dark about the magnitude of the threat against us. And I think you have to begin to incorporate into the American psyche exactly what the nature of the war is that we're in and the methods. And it's not just to a country, it's to a cabal that has reach all around the world into other countries. We need honest information about what kind of a fight we're in. And this is a perfect example. This is not a normal fire. In fact, let me just add, a couple weeks before this, there was warnings that we had never seen before. Yep. They weren't just high wind warnings. They were warnings that of high wind fire warnings. And people in Hawaii said, high wind fire? We get brush fires all the time over here. We've never had a high wind fire warning. Just like with the COVID, I think that there's an intent. These monsters always have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. It's part of their karma thing. And if you know anything about it, well, that's your problem. They warned you. Yeah. I think they have warned us here, and that's what's going on.
Why would they send the kids home, shut off the water, it doesn't make sense to me. And so many people are looking at this going, wow, they create the problem, and then they come up with the solution.
Again, from a military standpoint, there should be zero question in anyone's mind who's dealt in these arenas that it is absolutely, undeniably known whether or not a laser weapon was used in this area. We need an honest answer.
Yeah,
show me the satellite-based imaging systems and weather monitoring systems, and prove to us that this wasn't what it obviously appears to be, a directed energy weapon. And I think at this point in time, based on what we're seeing on the ground observations, very similar, by the way, to things that we had all the way back to 9/11, where we had cars blocked away, blocks away, within certain types of alignments where they're burned out right down to the wheels melting into the ground, and yet just a few feet away, nothing to other vehicles. And why is that? Because there's certain aspects of ways that these weapons can be directed, which are very laser-like with precision.
And then in 9/11, we just happened with all of that going on with buildings melting, we just happened to find the passport of one of the hijackers, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, miraculously, it's right on top of all the rubble, uncinched, yeah. Everything. Where you readily find it. It blew out of the airplane. It was right there, right on top of everything. Yeah, after tons and tons and tons and tons of soot and debris came rolling down. You know, one of the observers, one of the people that was present as this happened in a call that I got to be part of the other day, he says, you can't believe it. The fire went 1 mile in 1 second. It was just like it just rolled across the terrain. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. No wind moves the fire 1 mile in 1 second. Okay? Clearly, this is something else. So the American people have to then question, why is our government not giving us honest information about what we've just experienced? And who benefits here? Who's in collusion? Not just maybe to another government, but to a globalist type of an agenda, because what is the plan? You remember back at 9/11, all of a sudden, then we had the Patriot Act miraculously shows up days later, and then Congress is voting on it. This couple thousand page document that had been in the works for years miraculously appears, and then we got a race to hurry up and sign it. To take away everybody's freedoms. Look at what's going on. The governor comes out almost instantaneously and says the state's going to take over all the land. Okay, yeah. We're going to fix this thing. If you don't smell a rat, it's probably because your nose doesn't work.
Right. Well, Juan, I told you at the beginning, this is going to be tough because we only have 12 minutes. So with 30 seconds left, how can people find you? Because I know there's a lot of different fake 107 websites. How can they find you?
You know, there's fans out there that do stuff, and I don't do any social media. So, you know, people post stuff on like that. You know, thejennifermack.com is where we have a lot of the jackets and t-shirts and the books and like that, and people can go there, and that's we have some beautiful stuff over there Jennifer's done. And I allow the host to post. There's a certain number of hosts that I do stuff with, and that's pretty much it. But their sites, if you see somebody posting as though it's me anywhere on the internet, it almost certainly is not, because I don't do any posting.
Well, Juan, thank you so much for joining me. God bless, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Oh, yeah. We'll cross paths mid-October. I'm looking forward to it, kiddo.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Coming up next, Dr. James Thorpe, and later a Maui resident shares her eyewitness testimony. Stay tuned.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hey friends, have you ever wondered why meat at the grocery store is always bright red? Well, that's because it's treated with carbon monoxide to prevent oxidation, and there's some other chemicals and fungicides in there too. Yuck. But maybe you want to try the Gates lab-grown meat. Are you kidding me? If you want real food from a real local farm without hormones, antibiotics, or mRNA, you gotta get this beef. Ted and I love it. Go to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. And one of my team members is standing by, ready to help you get this delivered right to your door. We love these steaks, and you will too. Go to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Joining us live now is Dr. James Thorpe. James, thank you so much for joining me today.
Shemaine, thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege to meet you and to be on your illustrious platform.
You're so kind. Thank you. Now, you're a board certified OBGYN and fetal medicine specialist. Tell us about what happened to you recently when you spoke out about the vaccine.
Well, yes, I was employed by SSM Health, Sisters of St. Mary's Health, based out of St. Louis, Missouri. And I was working with them for about 4.5 years. And I performed my jobs very honorably. I was praised as a beloved physician there by all the administration, my colleagues, and my staff. I was a number one producer in the department and the most published in the department. And this past June 29th, on Thursday afternoon at 1:05 p.m., the CEO had called me up, and on my end of the line, I had my attorney wife, and we took notes, and he praised me for about 30 minutes, calling me a model physician for their system, praising my ethical, moral, and intellectual integrity. And after 30 minutes, said, well, we're having some financial problems, so we're going to have to invoke the no-cause termination agreement. But by the way, we're going to give you a large sum of money. We just want you to sign these documents. And his name was Mr. Kevin Allidge. And I said, well, you know, Mr. Allidge, I really don't need your money. If you're having financial difficulties, then you keep it and continue your mission in serving your employees and your staff. And he got pretty aggressive in terms of trying to push me into signing that. I declined. And 7 minutes after the phone call, with an email sent out to all of my colleagues, terminated me immediately, relieving me of my clinical responsibilities, which really is tantamount to incriminating and alleging that I'm a bad person or a horrible doctor. Now, what Maggie, my wife, incredible attorney and research colleague, we found last week, and this story just broke. They took $306 million, Shemaine, of COVID relief in early 2021. That's why they fired me. So what happened was that, yeah, they loved me up there and they honored me, but somebody very high in the swamp, probably at the CDC and HHS that I've been attacking, they called them up and said, you know, execute Thorpe or you're going to have to pay back the money. And by the way, Maggie Thorpe, JD, also MACP, she's got a divinity degree from Duke. And we also broke earlier this year. Last year, we got a Freedom of Information Act from HHS, CDC, and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. We proved that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists signed a covenant and a contract by taking that money that they were not allowed to deviate from the deathly narrative of pushing this lethal vaccine in my pregnant women. We proved that. It seems pretty obvious that SSM Health has a similar contract that they signed. That's the way they've treated me. I fed them all of the publications that, they didn't like the fact that I was on Tucker Carlson. They didn't like the fact that I was testified in front of the Senate. But they, too, I suspect, signed the covenant with death. I take the covenant with death, and I have a Substack that I've written, a five-part series on the covenant with death. And the covenant with death, that's Freedom in Truth, James Thorpe, Substack. The covenant with death, as a Bible student and a eschatological Bible student, what reached out to me was Isaiah chapter 28, verses 15 to 18, where in the end times, prophet Isaiah 2,300 years ago prophesied that in the end times there would be a covenant with death. That's what I named my Substack, because that's exactly what this is, a covenant with death.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I'm glad you used the word covenant. What types of side effects would this vaccine potentially have on pregnant women?
It's devastating. First of all, before pregnancy, it has a severe, massive adverse effect on fertility, on men and women's fertility, severe complications with regard to abnormal menstrual periods, menstrual function, catastrophic bleeding. In pregnancy, massive increase in miscarriage, fetal malformations, fetal death, fetal cardiac arrhythmias, severe early onset preeclampsia, severe growth restriction of the fetus. We have fetal cardiac arrhythmias, severe abnormal fetal testing, severe early onset preeclampsia. We have indicated preterm labor, spontaneous preterm labor, preterm delivery because of the vaccine, and delivery of newborns that have issues. Many of them are normal, but certainly a grouping of them have very significant problems that may be permanent. We don't know. But we also know that...
Go ahead.
We also know that there's an increase in neonatal death. The NICUs now are filled with babies, very sick babies, I believe related to the COVID-19 vaccine. And I have several whistleblowers that have seen that also.
And when you presented this information to your associates, what was the backlash like?
Categorically ignored. And it went up. Listen, I'm former military. I'm a former military officer in the United States Air Force. I know my chain of command. I presented all this information to my three supervisors. They had it all. They ignored it. Just bluntly ignored it. Listen, I'm the most extensively published physician in that entire department. I published approaching 50 publications just in the last 3 years on COVID. They blanketly ignored me. I've had over 220 publications, peer-reviewed publications in my career. So I think that they were just told by somebody higher up to execute me, and that was done. But listen, many of these individuals know that I'm right. They just don't have the fortitude, the spine, the integrity, ethical and moral. They have the intellectual integrity, but not the ethical and moral to come out and make a stand. Their paychecks are more important to them than their responsibility to God and their responsibility to their patients. And that's why I'm so honored to be with the wellness company right now, because the wellness company is a parallel healthcare system. We're not in it for profit. We're in it to save lives and to make patients healthy. So I'm very, very blessed to be with the wellness company.
And that was a big indicator for me that there was something wrong early on, because if you did get COVID, if you did test for it and you were positive, there was no treatment. And they didn't want us to talk about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Or I got banned on Twitter, I think, because I talked about getting good old-fashioned vitamin D from the sun. Why is that wrong, Jim?
Shemaine, you're brilliant. You're absolutely right. I want to go back to the history of that. You know, in 2020, when they came out and started blasting me for using hydroxychloroquine, I was very angry about that. They illegally blocked my scripts. Listen, Shemaine, I've been using hydroxychloroquine for 40 years in pregnant women, okay? Maggie and I have a documented and published a advertisement bragging on the safety from the CDC and the FDA on their website, bragging about the safety of hydroxychloroquine for pregnant women, all trimesters, breastfeeding women, children. We've captured that. I've published it. It's in our publications. They removed it from the web prior to the pandemic. Now, yeah. If that's not bad enough, in 2020, all of the medical journals are totally corrupt. They're owned by the military medical pharmaceutical complex. And I can prove that to you because the Lancet in 2020, they're responsible for killing and injuring 28 million people worldwide. Lead author Mandeep Mehra of the Lancet published a completely false. They didn't even manipulate data. They made the frigging data up. They published it in May of 2020, and it was an abomination. It was 90,000 patients from multiple different continents. Impossible for anybody to have done. They retracted it.
I'm so sorry. I could talk to you forever about this. We're on the same page. How can people read more about you on your Substack or any other social media?
Yes, go to Freedom and Truth, Substack, my name, it'll pop right up. And then also go to Twitter. I publish everything on Twitter.
Good for you. Well, at least they let you on. Thank you so much for joining me, Doctor. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you, Shemaine. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, a Lahaina local tells her story.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. 20 years ago, I got sick and almost died from toxic mold. I'm living proof that the human body has an amazing ability to heal, but I do also know that when you don't have your health, you have nothing. You can't do the things you love to do with the people you love. Even if you eat salads and you cut out junk food and soda, you're still not getting the essential nutrients that your body needs. I have started using Field of Greens. I take a scoop of it and I put it in my water bottle and I sip it throughout the day. It tastes great, which is a big thing for me, and it works. I have more energy and I sleep better. So if you want to get healthier, you can go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code FREEDOM for a discount. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code FREEDOM. I love this product and I think you will too. Okay, joining me now is a guest who has boots on the ground experience with what is going on now in Lahaina, Maui, a local who's engaged in response efforts firsthand, Cami Irwin. Cami, thank you so much for joining me.
No, thanks. Thanks for getting us on. I love you and your husband.
Oh, you're so sweet. And you know, at the beginning of this show, I started out by saying, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you doesn't sound like it's enough. And I think what you're doing, boots on the ground, your efforts are firsthand. Tell us what you're seeing and then followed by how we can help.
So it's been essentially 8 days now since everything happened here with the destruction of the fires all over Maui. It took us all by surprise. We have fires a lot every year. We usually can get them under control. Last Tuesday night, we were at home after work, and we were sitting out on the lanai here, which is our deck, and we saw clouds that were red, and we had heard there were fires breaking out, but it looked like it was towards where Maui Brewing is, which is what my guy Garrett Marrero is the CEO of. So we grabbed the dog, all of our stuff we could think of, and flew up there. And we could see was fires barreling down our mountainside and just coming near us. We lost all contact with the side of Lahaina and north of there. And the fire departments were dispersed everywhere. So even the one down the road from our house was emptied out. And we were like, well, you know, you're supposed to call the fire department when there's a fire, but obviously they were everywhere. So we were just sitting there. We were crawling around in the grass looking for any sort of water valve in case the fire department couldn't get to us. And we ended up staying there till 1 a.m. and the fires came within a few miles of the brand new school that they had just built here and the Maui Brewing brewery site. And we had to come home. The smoke was so bad at that point. There was nothing really we could do without fire hoses. And the next morning we woke up and it was a nightmare.
My goodness. It's so devastating. But what's even worse is that it looks like this could have been prevented.
It's hard because we had such, they were recording winds at over 80 miles per hour on some points of Maui. Our friends have boats. One of my buddies was out on a boat saving people that were jumping into the water from Lahaina because the way the fire happened, it just engulfed everything and was spreading all over. It was truly something that you never want to see. Garrett and myself went over there the first day after, and we both just had tears coming out because I've lived on that side for forever. He's lived on that side. Seeing the carnage and the helplessness that you can't do anything. There were still buildings on fire when we drove through there. And we got an escort to take a generator over to start keeping a little bit of the food that was left from the hotel from perishing to help feed people over there and the tourists that were trapped.
You know, our President Joe Biden has an interesting response as the country's leader in this horrific disaster. Take a look.
About the Hawaii response, Mr. President?
How does that make you feel, Cammy?
I mean, as right now, I think the best thing that I can say is if any good has come out of this, it has made Hawaii stronger. We are getting deliveries from all over, from all the different islands. I've been able to work with, oh, are you still there?
We're still here. We got you. Keep going. Yep.
I keep getting calls. I tried to unmute them. We are working boots on the ground. The residents of Maui are what will save and help us rebuild faster. We are realizing we can't rely on government. Everyone from all over the world is sending us things to help us get to where we need to be. Day eight now, we're at the point of we have organizations we're trying to raise money for that have been vetted by the company of Maui Brewing. They've been working hard to make sure the money won't be going to other organizations that take out such a high percentage and won't be going to help us rebuild here on Maui. It's just, it's been one of the worst horrific things you could ever experience. We finally at Maui Brewing, I think we're only missing one person still. But so many homes have been burnt down. So we are now working on just getting everything up and going here. Shelters. We stopped our Amazon wish list because we were getting overwhelmed by packages where last Wednesday when I started asking for help all over the world, we didn't know if packages were going to come in. So we only have a few stores and we didn't know how dire it was going to be here without supplies. And thank goodness I have some great connections in the military world. And Garrett, being the CEO of Maui Brewing, he has a ton of resources. And we've been able to get things from all over the country to help us in this very tragic time over here.
What kind of red tape are you running into with getting supplies into where you need them to go?
It's been hard because everybody wants to help and we don't know who's sending what. I've had pilots calling me, telling me they needed help because they're grounded with insulin. I think one of the biggest things that helped is Kai Lenny, who's a professional surfer here, did an Instagram live and that was able to get out to the world that we're not getting the medical supplies that were requested here. And somehow with a few of us, we were able to, as the residents of Hawaii, make big things happen and save lives. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it. But Coconut Wireless is what we have here in Hawaii and people spread the word and we can get so many things done with our community.
Well, how can people help? Where should they go? Online? Should they make phone calls? Should they send you things? What's the right route?
Well, because now that we know that packages are being received, we're getting boxes and boxes. Sweden sending us things, Ireland sending us things. We're beyond grateful because we were running out of, I mean, when you go and see the devastation that Lahaina is, that other parts, that people have been completely displaced, the kids, there's so many kids that are still unaccounted for and these families that have to feed the kids that are accounted for. And so every day we get home, we have Huggies, formula, everything shipped to our home. But that's from our own friends who have known we need to get support for the kids here. But now we're trying to focus on just getting those donations brought in so we can start rebuilding. I can send you over the vetted organizations that we know that we trust because Maui Brewing's team has worked so hard to make sure that 100% is going into rebuilding, taking care of staff at Maui Brewing and all of them who were displaced and just all the locals here who lost essentially everything.
How far are you from Lahaina?
20 miles, but when you drive, it takes about 45 minutes. It's far, but close. I mean, it's close, but so far, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, no, I understand. I spent a little bit of time in Lahaina, and it's so heartbreaking, and people just want to help. Is there one website you could share with people right now that they could go to?
Which is the top one we want people going to?
The immediate need would be our NBC Fire Relief Fund on GEM, and then our long term is the Legacy of Aloha.
The NBC I want you to meet Garrett. He's my guy. He's the CEO of Maui Brewing. He's the one making.
Hey, Garrett. Nice to meet you. I wish I had my guy here too. God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Cammy's been instrumental. I mean, we haven't seen each other much this week other than what do you got on your phone? We're literally just dueling iPhones. We've been all week. But I'd say the top ones that we're looking at that we're supporting are legacyofaloha.org. This is a combined effort for Maui Brewing and TS Restaurant Group to focus on the displaced and rebuilding homes and the immediate need for our teammates in the F&B industry, primarily TS and Maui Brewing. We have the Global Empowerment Mission, the NBC Fire Relief Fund, and I can send these links to you. That one is an immediate need because it's a 501c3. All of these are 501s, and you can donate money and it'll immediately get turned into cash cards and other usable items to be able to go right to the community immediately. And then lastly, long term, we're trying to raise big money in the Makai Foundation, which is MAKI.org. And Makai.org is there to pay for all the uninsured, underinsured, and for the deductibles that aren't affordable for residents of all of Maui to rebuild our homes.
Well, you know what? I have breaking news. You guys might be interested in this. The government just announced that they're sending $40 billion for disaster relief to Maui. Wait.
To Maui? $40 billion? We need six.
Oh, no. Sorry. They're sending it to Ukraine.
Wow. That's...
Is that upsetting to you or what?
It's more insulting, I would say.
Yes.
I heard your question earlier on how we're left feeling with the president's reaction and you know, being apolitical about this because it's an easy issue to politicize. And I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat, people died and we don't know how many yet. It's simply appalling that our government continues to fund weapons of war in foreign wars that understood the national security. But what about our community? What about the security of our people here? We could have prevented this by spending that money, making sure that these cables were buried years ago. And everybody I've talked to about that says, but it's too expensive to bury. I say, how cheap does it look now? So it's really horrific to think that $40 billion is going overseas when we need six to rebuild our own community.
Well, Cammy, Garrett, thank you so much for joining us. We will post all of your links in our show notes. God bless you, and please keep in touch with us. Let us know what else we could do in the future.
No, thanks for having us, Shemaine, and tell Ted Nugent we love him too.
Absolutely.
I will. Thank you. Hopefully we'll get to meet you guys in person someday.
Yes, please. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, please come to Maui. Please visit responsibly. We need the tourism. We're already seeing job loss here in areas unaffected. So get the message out that we are open for tourism, but we want responsible tourism.
Responsible tourism. I love it. All right, guys, God bless. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. No matter where you live, you should be concerned about your drinking water. Is it safe? What's in it? Well, there's just a little bit of arsenic and maybe some VOC, volatile organic compounds. If you're worried like I am, you might want to try Sentry H2O. It's a wellness system that removes harmful toxins and enriches water with essential nutrients, much healthier and cheaper than buying plastic water bottles. Check out Sentry H2O and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. That's Sentry H2O, promo code HEALTHY10. Joining us live now, Afghan vet turned evangelist, Shane Winnings. Shane, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So you wanted to talk about a topic that I think more men should be talking about, and that's masculinity.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I feel like in this culture, what we're seeing is a strategy to uproot what we believe masculinity truly is and to redefine it. And we see that across the board. You know, we see that men are now able, you know, they want to identify as women, and the idea of a nuclear family, you know, that's now going against the grain. You know, it's cool to be single. It's cool to abort your children. It's cool to, you know, it's like, this is the direction we're going. And I just felt like, you know what, we need to get the word out, what true masculinity is, and not this tainted version that we might get from influencers or celebrities who want to tell you what masculinity is, but what is actual masculinity that's going to produce fruit, that's going to bless the world, and that's something that young boys should be looking up to.
What's your message for young men today?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important just having a biblical worldview and having a godly, grounded perspective. So one, understanding that the way that we were made as men was by God, and it was for a purpose, and that we have distinct differences from women. I think we all know this, but there's a deception, a delusion that's going around that's trying to blur the lines between genders, between roles, and things like that. And, you know, first and foremost, I am a man because God made me this way. And so I actually pursue knowing God so that I can know who I am. And, you know, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more that I live on this earth, I understand that being a man isn't about having a beard and being in the military or having an SUV or something like that. Being a man is about understanding what it means to have integrity and what it means to bear the burdens that I've been assigned with, or the ones that I've taken on, to provide for my family, to be faithful to my wife, to raise my children in a way that honors God, not that honors culture. These are just some of the things that we don't hear from the influencers and the celebrities. They often are so obsessed with money and success, and this is how you define a man: someone who's successful, someone who looks good with his shirt off and drives a nice car. And, you know, meanwhile, behind the scenes and things that are getting exposed, a lot of these men are using women, trafficking women, abusing women, they're sexually perverse, they're not faithful. I mean, the list goes on. And what happens when some of these guys say things that are true, young boys cling on to that because, you know, like kids, they're attracted to shiny things. They see a guy who seems well put together, he's saying some of the right things, they tend to overlook these shortcomings, which are pretty major in my eyes: abusing women, misusing women, being perverse, things like this. And So I think it's important to redirect the gaze of young men onto older men that are worth following. And to me, that's people who are following Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, I'm obviously old fashioned. I was going to say, you might think I'm old fashioned, but I am, because I want my husband to protect me. When my son was growing up, when he was little, I taught him how to open the door for me. I stood in front of the door and I waited for him, even at 8 years old, to open the door for me.
That's awesome.
I mean, and he does it to this day. And he will even go so far as to, if we're walking down a sidewalk and there's a busy road, he won't let me walk next to the road.
Right.
What's wrong with that, Shane?
There's nothing wrong with that. This chivalry is not dead, but there's a remnant, you know, and it's sad that when I was growing up, even in the 90s, I feel like that was what was taught. That was what was expected, even in school, yeah. In elementary school, in public school. You know, we had this concept of a man, even, you know, watching like old cowboy movies or something like that, old Western. These guys were gritty, but they were also respectful. And what I've noticed as I've grown up, you know, I'm about to turn 33, but in these last really 10 years, we have just seen this, what started as an idea of women being independent, which I think is great in a sense, it has skyrocketed and it has exponentially grown to not just women are independent, but men are evil. and you shouldn't depend on a man for anything. And if I go to open the door for you, that might insult you because you can't open a door yourself. And it's like, this is where culture is heading.
Yeah.
And it's kind of mind-boggling, to be honest.
Well, God bless you, Shane. Thank you so much for joining me. I've got to run, but I appreciate everything that you're doing. I'm with you. I stand alongside of you. God bless you.
Thank you.
And thanks again.
Thanks so much. And if there's anyone who wants resources on how to become a godly man, check out Promise Keepers app in the App Store. It's filled with information based on the things that I've even shared here today.
Promise Keepers app will do. Thanks, Shane. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we've got a new segment called Chat with Shemaine.
Hey, friends, do you have topics you'd like me to cover? How about special guests you'd like to see on my show? I want to hear from you, so send me an email at shemaine.chat@gmail.com. Let's make a difference together.
And this email is from Robert. I'm 100% combat disabled Vietnam veteran and, like Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, took an oath to defend the United States Constitution and America. One is never relieved of an oath voluntarily taken, and having nearly paid the ultimate price in service to America, I've continued to battle her enemies at every instance on the political battlefield. That said, I served as an elected official, Idaho's Canyon County First District Commissioner, and as such, fought the illegal alien invasion alone. And as a county commissioner, I can unequivocally state that's what's occurring in Liberty County, Texas. And the battery plant in Michigan is illegal and could not happen without the express participation of those county commissioners. It is incomprehensible to me, having fought on foreign battlefields, that America would be so easily sold out by her elected officials, especially a Michigan Chamber of Congress. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. And if you want to send me an email, go to shemainechat@gmail.com. That's shemainechat@gmail.com. Send me your messages, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on the shows. That's all we have for today. Check out my best-selling book, Killer House, available on Amazon. Don't forget, Esther 414. I'll see you next week. God bless.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.